Following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance. You should experience lots of explosions with no body parts. Parents should be ready to cover their ears.
They don't appear to be
This is a Milk and Sea Audio production, where entertainment is always free.
Time for the Broken Sea Audio Production OTR Swag Cast.
Hello, Broken Sea Hooligans. This is Lynn Cullen stepping into the big chair. October was great, wasn't it? It was dark and creepy, and I, for one, am really glad that Barnabas Collins was safely tucked away back in Collinsport. Today, I thought I'd lighten up our post-Halloween month a bit. Anyone who knows me will tell you that music has been an integral part of my entire life. In fact, my mother will tell you that I was singing before I was speaking. So today, I thought I'd lighten your new Audio Thursday with Swagcast, the musical. I actually have three musical selections for you today. All three come from CBS's radio show, Suspense. Okay, so maybe we're keeping just a little bit of the Halloween creep, even if it is a musical episode. Suspense aired from 1942 to 1962 and included 945 episodes, a full 900 of which are still available. Our first presentation stars the great Ethel Merman in Never Follow a Banjo Act. While she was most known for comedy, she provides a pretty amazing performance in a creepy suspense thriller which deals with greed, the pop music industry, and tousled hair. I guess some themes never really go out of style when you're talking about Hollywood. In spite of its creepiness, Ms. Merman still belts out some of the greatest hits of the era, and you will hear songs that will tempt you to sing right along with her. Suspense actually broadcast this story twice. The first presentation starred Ethel Merman on February 4th, 1954, and is widely recognized as the better of the two performances. Never Follow a Banjo Act was written for Suspense by James Poe. Second up is incomparable jazz vocalist Rosemary Clooney, the aunt of modern-day actor George Clooney, and she's starring in the St. James Infirmary Blues. Her voice was sultry and sweet, and yet so strong in spite of all the personal tragedies that life sent her way. The St. James Infirmary Blues was a song first made popular in 1928 by Louis Armstrong and has been recorded by many, many people over the years. Most renditions of this song have been performed by men, but Suspense wrote their episode around a female character. Rosemary Clooney, in her only appearance on Suspense, sings both the narration and plays the role of Sheila, and aired on February 8, 1951, at the very beginning of her solo career. Our third offering is Tom Dooley. Suspense first presented Tom Dooley on March 30, 1953, and then brought it back again on December 7, 1958, after the Kingston Trio's song Tom Dooley hit the charts. This story is based on lyrics from the song. The song, in turn, is based on the real-life events of a Tom Dula, who was a Confederate war veteran executed for the murder we're about to hear in North Carolina in 1868. While the show doesn't bring in all the details, such as the fact that urban legends have implicated other people and that Dooley took the fall for those people, it's still great OTR. So now, without further ado, or babbling, I present to you Ethel Merman in Never Follow a Banjo Act, Rosemary Clooney in the St. James Infirmary Blues, and Tom Dooley starring Joseph Cotten.
Dressing room, they understand. Let's go.
Autolite and its 98,000 dealers bring you Miss Ethel Merman in tonight's presentation of Suspense. Tonight, Tonight, Autolite presents the story of a good-humored lady with a big voice and a soft-spoken boy with a very sharp knife. The story is called Never Follow a Banjo Act. Our star, the queen of musical comedy, Miss Ethel Merman. This is Harlow Wilcox with $100,000 news. You may get your own church, hospital, or other community or national charity a big share of that sum. There's nothing to do except write your name and address on a registration form at any Autolite family car dealer showroom. If you're one of 25 persons selected, you will name your favorite recognized charity or charities to share in this $100,000 Autolite family gift. Now, it is my privilege to introduce Mr. Basil O'Connor, National Chairman of the March of Dimes.
Thank you. I'm sure everybody in America will open his heart to this most generous offer. Of course, those selected can give to church, hospital, or any other recognized charity. But I, for one, am hoping a big share goes to my favorite charity, the March of Dimes, whose crucial campaign is underway. But for that once-in-a-lifetime thrill, to be able to give thousands of dollars to the March of Dimes or any other charity, be sure to register with your local Autolite family car dealer tomorrow.
Thank you, Mr. O'Connor. Friends, visit your DeSoto, Hudson, Plymouth, Studebaker, Dodge, Willis, Nash, Packard, Kaiser, or Chrysler dealer. Help your favorite charity share in $100,000. And now, Autolite presents transcribed Never Follow a Banjo Act, starring Miss Ethel Merman, hoping once again to keep you in suspense.
A Nero, Apollo, the Wizard of Oz. You've a kingdom, power and glory. The old, old, oldest of stories is new, true. You built your Rome in just one day. Life is mystic. A midsummer's night we live in. A Turkish delight. You're in heaven. It's well when you're really in love. It's well when you're really in love.
How about that, huh, folks? Great. I mean it, ladies and gentlemen. Rosie Jones. Come on, take one more bow, Rosie. Yeah. There you are. Oh, man. She really does come on, that girl. Well, ladies and gentlemen, oh, you lovely uptown types. You came, you saw, and you heard. The one and only, the immortal Rosie Jones. Ride to 52nd Street for the club nightshade.
Hey, Sting Willing Dolly's baby.
And now we bring you Chico and his Mambo Rascal. Get it, boys.
Sing melancholy baby.
Hey, no, doll, no.
No what?
Don't unhook. You got company coming back.
Listen, Benny, if I've told you once, I've told you a million times.
Yeah, but this is different, doll. Oh, this is different.
Yeah, it's always different.
Come on, come on, fix your hair.
May I come in?
It's open. I can't stop you.
My name is Cram, Rosie. Ray Cram. I'd like to talk to you.
Ray Cram, huh? Beat it, mister.
I don't think you got the name right, or maybe you never heard of me.
Every guy who wants to make a big impression back here claims he either is or is representing a big agent.
Doll, this is Ray Cram.
I assure you, Miss Jones, this is Mr. Cram.
And who, my dear, are you?
I'm Johnson, assistant to Mr. Cram.
Tell you what, Mr. Cram, show me your driver's license.
Oh. There you are.
Oh, have a chair.
Call me Ray. You know, I've been an admirer of yours for many years, Rosie. Many, many years.
You can skip the many years stuff. I guess we all know how long I've been around.
Sorry, Rosie. Well, for some time, I've been casting about in my mind, speculating as to how your mature talents could best be utilized.
Benny.
Listen to Mr. Cram, doll.
Benny, if this is a rib, so help me, I'll kill you.
Go on, Mr. Cram.
Well, last night, it came to me.
I know. You want me to replace Marilyn Monroe.
Rosie, you're a sensitive, insecure girl because somehow these last few years have passed you by. but I want you to shut up and listen.
All right, but so help me, if this is a rib...
Shut up. You know I'm representing Terry Dane, and you know who he is, and you know what I got, right? No cracks. Right?
Right. The hottest thing since Frankie was first discovered.
That's it. We've had new ones and new ones. They come, they go. But this Terry Dane's $1 million a year gross. With tousled hair. Face you'd like to put in your lap and hug and kiss. And a voice like, well, the answer to a maiden's prayer.
Personally, I go for men. But what's the pitch?
She goes for men. Great little kidder, huh? Listen, Rosie, ask me what's the pitch, I'll tell you. We're opening Terry at the new Cactus Retreat in Vegas 2 weeks from Saturday. He gets 25 G's a week.
I read it in Billboard. Big deal.
We need somebody to work with him, Rosie. Somebody who's got the experience and the talent and a voice you could lay bricks on. Somebody who can really go along with him.
It is a rib.
Will you shut up? So may my mother be struck dead if I should say one word that isn't the truth and sincere from the heart.
Go on.
Benny's paying you $275, Rosie. I want to buy you a contract from him. I'll give you an even grand, legitimate expenses, plus transportation. You like?
To work with Terry Dane.
4 weeks guaranteed, maybe a bonus, who knows?
Benny?
I seen the contract, Rosie.
And, you?
I assure you, Miss Jones.
I'll give you 10 seconds to give me a firm answer. Say yes, we finalize it, here and now.
You don't mind if I seem a bit in the dark?
That's 9 seconds.
What happened to that big My Darling Died campaign your office was spreading? When you had him singing, I'll Never Smile Again and so forth over the cute little girl who was killed in that accident.
Constance Green. Boy got over it.
So why don't you get him another young thing like she was?
Never follow a banjo act with a banjo act, Rosie. Whole show business motto.
Gee, she was cute. And that accident, what was it? She fell through a shower door or something, bled to death.
5 seconds.
4, 3, 2. I'll take it.
That's my girl, Rosie. Now, while you're signing these, gentlemen, if you'll just leave us alone for a minute.
Sure thing, Mr. Cramp.
Now, the pen just, that's it.
Standard form? No riders?
No riders, Rosie. But there's one thing I want to make clear right from the outset, so there's no misunderstandings later.
Why, Mr. Cramp.
I'm serious, dear. About Terry. Keep away from him.
Okay.
I mean away, dear. He's a moody kid. Terribly shy.
Remember what I said before about liking men?
Yeah, and that's what I call being mature. He's just a boy. You got no interest, you develop none, you keep clear, clean, and away. Is that right?
Right. Oh, I'll make it look good on stage, Ray, but after hours, I'm going hunting for one of those Nevada cowpokes. Terry Dane. Me and Terry Dane.
Rosie?
It was a good arrangement, Terry. Go on. They're queuing your solo.
Who cares about solos? I like duets. I like doing it with you, honey.
What a passionate one you are. So get on with you and passionize that mob, Terry.
They're calling for an encore, sugar.
An encore of you, my boy. Of you. They like you. Love you. Every last dame in the place. So get out there.
Yes. They love me. It's true. Every last one of them out there. Everybody seems to. I don't intend to try to explain it. It's just a thing that happens to women when I sing.
That's right. That's right. Now sing for them. That's the point.
But it somehow just doesn't seem to happen to you, Rosie. Now, why would that be? Why would that be?
Lady wages 2 bits on the 23 red.
Rosie?
Hello, Ray. Get me a 2-bit plunger.
After your turn in the last show.
Yeah?
Terry was whispering to you. What about?
Oh, he wants me to join his fan club. Something I don't know.
And what else?
Nothing else.
Sure?
Hey, look, what is this anyway?
Nothing there. Keep up the good work.
And keep on keeping away from Terry.
That's right, dear.
A pleasure.
Bye now.
Toodaloo.
Miss Jones, ma'am?
Why, hello, Texas.
Oh, my name ain't Texas, ma'am. It's Earl. Earl White.
Earl. But that's such a short name for such a long man.
I just wanted to tell you how much I like your singing, Miss Jones.
Really? Oh, you're not just saying that.
Oh, no, ma'am.
You're one in a million, Earl.
Yes'm.
Blurt it out, Earl.
Well, I'd sincerely like to buy you a drink, Miss Jones.
Well, let's saddle up, Pod, and get with it. You know, it's a right smart stretch since I've seen the sunrise, Earl.
Finest time of the day, Miss Rosie.
And look at those mountains, all purply and gold.
Yeah, a man could look at those mountains for quite a spell.
Here's my bungalow, Earl, so I guess I'll be saying goodnight. Or is it good morning?
Don't rightly know which to say, ma'am. Let's just make it so long. Till later.
We still got that riding day?
Yes'm. Oh, yes'm.
So long, partner.
Bye.
Who's there? Who's that in my bedroom? Hey, Dream Boy. What do you think you're doing in my bungalow? Dream Boy, Terry. Oh, come on, Terry. Time to go home to your Betty-bye. Gotta look good tonight, Pally. Yes, indeedy. So come on. Stand up. Hey, you're gonna cut yourself playing with that butcher knife. Put it away.
You're like Connie.
Connie?
You're like Connie. And like that other one when I was little.
Connie? Oh, you mean Constance Green, that little girl who used to sing with you. The one who died?
Connie was like you.
Oh, we're not in the least.
Connie didn't like me.
Yeah, don't snap that so close to me. Don't.
Connie didn't like me. You don't like me.
Everybody likes you, Terry.
You don't.
Yes, I do. I do.
Why?
Because when you sing, it does something to me way inside.
Does it?
Yeah, it makes a lump in my throat, and I just want to swoon.
You don't mean it.
I do. I do. I've never heard anything like you, Terry, and your hair. Oh, I love your hair. I just want to tousle it.
Do that.
Do what?
What you said.
Huh?
Don't you remember?
Oh, that knife. It's making me nervous.
You don't like me. You do what I said.
Put down the knife and I will.
All right.
Like this?
Yes. Do you like to do that?
Oh, yes. I love to tousle your hair, Terry.
You do? Yes, you do, don't you? I can tell.
Yes, Terry.
I'll bet you'd like to kiss my eyes now, Connie.
Oh, yes. Yes. Tousle your hair and kiss your eyes. Yes.
But I won't let you. It's time I went back to my bungalow.
Oh. All right, honey, if you insist.
When I saw you lying there, all in blood, I knew you finally loved me and it was right. And it was right.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, I'll see you tonight, darling. It's mean making you wait.
Yes, yes, yes.
Is bringing you Miss Ethel Merman in Never Follow a Banjo Act. Tonight's presentation in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
got new Plymouth, eh?
Yes, sir, and what a car. Just like they say, under the beauty, there's solid value.
Say, you know, we're saluting Plymouth tonight on Suspense as a distinguished member of the Autolite family.
Plymouth's a distinguished member of my family, too, Harlow. The kids love its looks, my wife loves the comfort, and I really go for the economy. And we all go for a drive every time we can. Because with Plymouth, driving is the real pleasure it should be.
Yeah, and hey, talking about drives, you get a choice of three, don't you, Bob?
Yes, you do, Harlow. Synchro Silent, or if you wish, Automatic Overdrive, or No Shift High Drive. They're all available on this great new Plymouth. And of course, you know, Harlow, four is Autolite equipped.
I sure do, Bob. You're justly proud of your new Plymouth, and Autolite is also proud of its long association with Plymouth and Plymouth dealers everywhere.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Miss Ethel Merman in Elliot Lewis's production of Never Follow a Banjo Act, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Good morning, Miss Jones.
Well, let me in.
How's that?
It's me, Ray. Come out here. I've got to see you.
Well, what are you doing up this time of day there? What's the problem, Rosie?
It's your boy, your client, your tousle-headed million-dollar gross.
Terry?
Yeah.
Now, what's the rascal up to this morning?
Murder.
Very funny. Come on, Rosie. What's going on?
You mean you don't know?
Oh, no, what? No jokes, Rosie. Now, what's this about Terry?
In words of one syllable, Ray, that boy is a nut. He was in my bedroom just now with a knife, this long, suggesting that I should maybe flip every time he opens his mouth. I tell you, he scared the living daylights out of me.
This is serious.
You bet it is. He darn near cut my throat. No, because he said I didn't like him.
Didn't like him?
Yeah. And you know what you said about the old show business motto, never follow a banjo act with a banjo act?
Yeah.
Well, Ray Cram, you've done it. He's got me all mixed up with her and something about lying in a pool of blood and... Oh, this isn't for a baby. To that boy, I'm another banjo act.
Well, well. What should we do?
Call the police. Let them handle it.
We can't very well do that, can we?
Why not? The kid's sick. He's insane. He could do anything.
Aren't you exaggerating a bit?
No.
Think now, dear. Don't you think it might have been just a little joke, huh?
Ray, nobody makes jokes like that.
Sure they do. Don't they, Johnson?
Yes, Mr. Cram. Quite often.
So, why don't we forget about this, huh, Rosie?
Forget about it?
Yeah, forget about it.
Hey, now.
You're getting a grand a week, dear. Top publicity, a swell time, so why don't you relax, hmm? I'll have a little talk with Terry. There'll be no more jokes, I promise. Okay?
You know.
Know what? The kid's maybe a little loopy.
You know. You know about him and that little knife of his.
Don't raise your voice.
And maybe you know how that other girl, that Connie, died.
She fell through a shower door.
I read about it. She was cut up pretty bad, wasn't she?
Johnson.
Yes, Mr. Cram.
Give me a drink.
Yes, Mr. Cram.
You want a drink, Rosie?
At 6 o'clock in the morning? What I want is a good explanation. And after that, I want to use your phone.
Now listen, Rosie, and listen good. You've been around a long time, dear, and you know what can sometimes happen to a Weisenheimer who goes popping off when it's uncalled for.
But this is called for. That kid belongs in an asylum or someplace.
That kid represents $1 million gross.
Of which you get 10%.
Of which I get a whole lot less than that. He's divided up a half a dozen ways, Rosie. Some of the holders are very influential parties. One of the parties in particular wouldn't like it if anything happened to make the money stop coming in. That party's name's a secret. But I'm going to tell it to you, Rosie, because you've been around and you'll appreciate this.
Who?
The syndicate.
So explain. They're human beings, sort of. Tell them the truth. Tell them they bought in on something bad, just like you.
You don't understand. I sold them their piece. Me, Ray Cram.
You're in trouble.
Not unless you talk, and if you do, you're in trouble, too.
Here's a drink, Mr. Cram.
Ah, you put ice in it.
I'm sorry, Mr. Cram.
Ice hurts my caps.
So sorry, Mr. Cram.
Go on, fix it.
Yes, Mr. Cram.
How do you mean? I'll be in trouble, too.
The syndicate. I'd be forced to tell them who blew the whistle on their golden goose. And then, Well, you know.
Oh.
So, take the realistic view, huh, dear? We'll protect you. We'll keep Terry away from you. You've got nothing to worry about.
Nothing to worry about. Now I'm real reassured. Look, Ray, couldn't I just slip out of town?
No. I saw the boys after the show. They liked you. You stay. That's the word from the boys.
You know, this is kind of a hysterical situation.
Here you are, Mr. Graham.
Caps. They cost me $3,500. All they do is ache.
I wish I were dead.
And, dear.
Yes, dear.
You're singing good on your solo, but don't sing too good on your duet. Don't take away from the boy.
No, no.
That's it, dear. Bye now.
When you smiled at me, I heard a melody. It haunted me from the start. Something inside of me started a symphony. Sing with the strings of my heart. 'Twas like a breath of spring. I heard a robin sing about a nest set apart. All nature seemed to be in perfect harmony. Sing with the strings of my heart. Your eyes made skies seem blue again. What else could I do again but keep repeating through again? I love you, love you. I still recall the thrill. I guess I always will. I hope we'll never depart. Dear, with your lips to mine, a rhapsody divine, sing with the strings of my heart. Never could carry a tune, never knew where to start. You came along when everything was wrong and put a song in my heart. Dear, when you smiled at me, I heard a melody. Something inside of me symphony, sing with the strings of my heart. Just like a breath of spring, I heard a robin sing. All nature seemed to be in perfect harmony. Sing with the strings of my heart. Your eyes made skies seem blue again. What else could I do again but keep repeating through again? I love you, love you. I still recall the thrill. I guess I always will. I hope we'll never depart. Dear, with your lips to mine, a rhapsody divine. Sing when the spring of my heart.
Thank you. And now the moment you've all been waiting for. Ladies and gentlemen, Terry Dane.
Baby, hi, folks. Isn't she great?
Isn't he great? Terry?
Yeah, doll?
What are you thinking about, Terry?
All things.
What kind of things, Terry?
Moon, June, spoon, tune.
Got a tune?
Oh, I got a tune.
Good little tune?
Happy little tune.
I like a happy little tune. Is there a boy in it?
No, just a girl.
What kind of a girl?
A very quiet girl. And she was right. Right and dead and red as red can be.
Oh, what are you going to sing, Terry?
She was red. It was all red.
Get hold of yourself.
Why are they whispering?
Sing.
Don't they like me?
Sing.
I'll make them like me. Make you like me, Connie.
And now that we've done our little crazy bit, folks, we're going to carry on in the...
Never smile again.
Look out! He's got a knife!
Hey, watch out!
Hey! You can't stop holding me up! Not out of your heart! Daddy calls me out!
Hold him! Hold him! Rosie, get out there, sing something. Oh, I'm dead. I'm ruined.
Yeah, I got his arm.
Keep holding him.
There's no business like show business, like no business I know. Yes, sir, but it's all right, folks. Just one of those little things. And so, let's go on with the show.
Consarn, if I can figure what makes a fella like that tick.
I think I'll play the black tonight.
He went just plum loco, didn't he? Took 6 men to get him into that there special airplane. I swan, flying a man to the bug out.
Too many banjos. That's all, partner. Too many banjos.
I beg your pardon, ma'am, but I don't rightly follow you.
Let it pass, handsome. Let it pass.
Suspense. Presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Miss Ethel Merman. Friends, sign up tomorrow for the big Autolite family charity drawing. If you are 18 years or older, you can be one of 25 persons selected to pick your favorite charity or charities to share in $100,000. As March of Dimes chairman Basil O'Connor said earlier, for that once-in-a-lifetime thrill to be able to give thousands of dollars to the March of Dimes or any other recognized charity, be sure to register with your local Autolite family card dealer tomorrow. Just fill out a registration form and have the dealer sign it. There's nothing to buy, nothing to write except your name and address. But you may help your church, hospital, or other favorite recognized charity share in $100,000. So visit any DeSoto, Hudson, Plymouth, Studebaker, Dodge, Willis, Nash, Packard, Kaiser, or Chrysler dealer tomorrow. Autolite and its 98,000 dealers bring you Miss Rosemary Clooney in tonight's presentation of Suspense.
Tonight, Autolite presents a story about the Roaring Twenties and the violent people who lived them. As with song and story, we tell you about St. James Infirmary Blues. Our star, Time Magazine's cover girl, Miss Rosemary Clooney.
Well, Harlow, did you enjoy G.W.'s birthday?
Yes, sir, Hap. Quite a guy, George. And an Autolite Stay Full battery user, of course.
He was?
Well, he is. George just can't buy a better battery than the one that needs water only 3 times a year in normal car use.
I suppose he used his Stay Full to start his boat across the Delaware.
Well, if he did, he got the quickest and most powerful start of his life. And G.W. agrees.
George Washington?
Oh, no. George Wilcox, my brother.
Oh.
Friends, to quickly locate your Autolite battery dealer, who services all makes of batteries, phone Western Union by number and ask for Operator 25.
I'll gladly tell you where to get an Autolite Stay Full, the battery that needs water only 3 times a year in normal car use.
And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite presents Miss Rosemary Clooney in St. James Infirmary Blues, hoping once again to keep you in suspense.
Down to St. James Infirmary. I saw my sweetheart there, all stretched out on a lawn.
so pale, so cold, so fair.
Hey, how do you like it, honey?
It's all right.
Hey, you know who that is over there? Brock. Brock Martin. And all those guys around him.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them gangsters. I told you, didn't I? I told you I'd take you to the fanciest speakeasy in New York. Oh, that's Brock. He owns this whole end of town. You see the way they let me in, Sheila?
It was very impressive, Freddie, dear.
And how do you like the liquor here, huh? Right from Canada. You know, one thing about Brock.
Freddie?
Yeah, honey?
Who's he?
Huh?
The boy with the black hair.
Oh, he's Brock's Trigger.
What does that mean, honey?
Oh, baby, baby. Trigger. Trigger means you want somebody out of the way. Shot.
And the boy with the black hair does it?
That's what the papers say. That's Nick Volpe.
You know him?
Oh, you point these guys out, you don't know them. Hey, where you going?
No, that's what I said. 3-2 on Dempsey in Philly tomorrow, Brian. Don't you think we ought to take a hike?
Whatever you say, Nicky.
Whatever Nicky says.
This yours, Nicky?
Nicky hasn't started to find out yet.
Who are you, baby?
Sheila.
This is Sheila, Brian.
Why?
Tell him, baby.
It's a dull place. I don't like dull.
You see, Brian?
Sit down, Sheila.
I've got a table.
I know, I saw.
I know. You stared, Nicky, but I was too far away. You really couldn't tell. Freddy?
Hello, Mr. Volpe.
You're who?
Just a customer. Just brought Sheila here. Sheila.
It was lovely, Freddy.
I guess we better go now.
Goodbye, Freddy.
Hey, I can't leave you here with these... Sheila.
Valentino's playing down the street, Freddy. Go see him.
Do that. Hi, Nick.
The dough went away, didn't it?
Keep it like that.
Sure.
I'd roam the wide world over, but none so sweet, so fair as my loving baby Nicky. Like red rockets in the air.
Having fun, Sheila?
Love it. How fast are we going?
How fast, Cleo?
60.
Next corner, Cleo.
I know where to stop, Nicky. Don't worry.
You all right, baby?
You think so?
Yeah, I do.
You're not going to get hurt, are you?
Nah, never. Be back in a minute.
Cleo.
Yes, ma'am.
How long have you been with Nicky?
Driving him? Oh, a long time.
He's nice, isn't he?
Not while he's collecting. Not now he isn't.
But exciting.
You ought to go home.
Exciting. This week. A whole week of Nicky. You don't...
All right, let's get going, Cleo.
Any trouble, boss?
Just pie. Little guy in that store even thanked me for the protection we give him.
Nicky.
What, baby?
Nothing. Just Nicky. You're not smiling, Nicky. Trouble?
Oh, not much. Leo.
Yeah. I know. I'll take it slow.
Get down in the car, baby.
Nicky.
Get down, I told you. All right, beat it. Sheila, honey.
What?
You know why that happened? You know why that man's store just blew up in his face? Sheila, when I tell you to do something, you'll do it, huh?
Funny, I was just thinking about you, Nick. While I was mixing this drink, I was thinking, wouldn't it
be... Shut up.
All right. Here, take my drink.
Lousy booze.
What's the matter, Nick?
Look, anybody asks you, I've been here for the last 5 hours.
Sure, but...
What happens if anyone asks you?
You were here 5 hours, Nick.
All right.
Now you tell me.
Listen to me, a guy got killed.
Who?
What difference does it make? He was hauling a load of bulls from Montreal. He didn't make it. He got hijacked. He didn't like it. He didn't do what he was told to do, so he's dead.
You kill him, Nick?
How could I kill him? I've been here for the last 5 hours.
That's right, Nick.
It's Brock's bulls. It was Brock's boy who got killed.
Brock will kill you for it. You should.
Listen to me. Don't you know what I'm telling you?
Nick, you're hurting me.
Brock's going to kill nobody, you understand? That's
Nick!
That's the phone.
Hello?
Nicky there.
Who's this?
Brock.
He's here, Brock. You want to talk to him?
How long has he been there?
5 hours.
Listen, Sheila, tell him something for me. Tell him McCready never got in with his truck because he got killed. Tell Nick McCready's going to have a funeral tomorrow. Tell him to be there.
I'll tell him. Nick.
You did good.
I'm scared.
Touch this to you, baby. Scares away the scare. 50,000 times. One for each dollar.
All that money.
All that happy time, baby. Put it away for a rainy day for us. You like Cuba, baby?
Right now, I like it right here. Nick. Cuba's later.
So we went down to the funeral. A man my Nick had killed. Parade of long black autos. The streets with crowds were filled. Six crap shooters as pallbearers. A chorus girl sang a song with a jazz band on his hearse. Raising Cain as we drove along.
Somebody, huh? McCready would have liked it.
Where's Nicky Field? I haven't seen him for the last half hour.
Brock.
He wants you, Miss Sheila.
What?
Brock's nodding to you. That means he wants you.
All right.
In here, Sheila. I want to talk to you. Sit down. You want a drink?
No.
You want Nicky?
What did you do to him?
Nothing's going to happen to him that you won't know about.
He was with me. He didn't kill McCready. I swear he was with me, Brock.
You're a pretty girl, Sheila. You got a nice face. Take care of yourself. Mostly don't lie.
Don't kill him, Brock.
He was the only one that knew about that load of booze from Montreal. I got a phone call from Patterson, New Jersey, a guy who runs things over there. He laughed in my face. He said my boy Nick just sold him a load of my whiskey. You want to see Nick? Sure you do. Charlie, bring him in.
Inside, big shot.
Nicky!
Hi, Sheila. It's all right, baby. Nothing hurt.
Sure it don't, Nick. Nothing's gonna hurt anymore.
Take him, Charlie.
Let's go, big shot. The ride's what we got for you.
You too, Sheila. Come on. Okay, Cleo.
Yes, sir.
Out, Nick.
Baby.
Come on. She won't let him go, boss.
Make her.
Yeah. She let go. Come on, Nick.
Bye, baby.
Come on, come on, come on.
Yeah.
Baby! Nick! Nicky!
You better believe it, Sheila. It just happened to him.
Autolite is bringing you Miss Rosemary Clooney in St. James Infirmary Blues. Tonight's presentation in suspense.
You know, Harlow, life was tough in Washington's time.
Ah, it sure was, Hap. Imagine having to get along without an Autolite Stay Full, the great battery that needs water only three times a year in normal car use.
But they didn't need Autolite Stay Full batteries in that time.
Why, Hap, folks should have the Stay Full advantages all the time. Those fiberglass retaining mats protect the power of every positive plate, reduce shedding and flaking, and give the Autolite Stay Full longer life, as proved by tests conducted according to accepted life cycle standards.
But, Harlow, they didn't have cars in Washington's time.
They weren't worth having without an Autolite Stay Full, Hap. Friends, visit your Autolite battery dealer. He services all makes of batteries, and he has an Autolite Stay Full for your car if a replacement is needed. To quickly locate him, phone Western Union by number and ask for...
Operator 25, I'll gladly tell you where to get an Autolite Stay Full.
The battery that needs water only three times a year in normal car use. And remember, from bumper to tail light, you're always right with Autolite.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage Miss Rosemary Clooney in Elliot Lewis's production of St. James Infirmary Blues, a story well calculated to keep you in suspense.
You've been a good girl, Sheila. I like that. Just try to smile when we get inside the club. Open it, Lefty. The smile, Sheila, like you just came from a party. With laughs.
Hi, Brock. Buy a drink?
Hi, Brock.
Some other time.
Come on, have a drink with me, Brock.
My office, Sheila. Inside. Here, I'll take your coat.
Brock.
Sit down, Sheila. Drink it.
No. Nick used to tell me to do things and I didn't. He's dead now.
You're not. Thank me, Sheila.
You're fat.
Nick was a good boy. He met you. Something happened to him. He crossed me. Now he's dead. You see what I can do, Sheila?
You're fat and you're old.
I've seen him like you. Beautiful. Culture's the word, isn't it, Sheila? Good family, money, everything. But really nothing at all. Excitement's what you need, isn't it?
What do I do to you, Brock?
I don't know.
But I do it, don't I?
Yeah.
Make me another drink, Brock.
Sheila.
Make me another drink.
All right, Sheila. Here, drink it, baby, and we'll make it the start of a...
Wipe the gin off your face, Brock.
Enjoy it?
Mm-hmm.
Let me make up my mind about something. Whether we should ride back to where Nicky got his and throw you away. You think that would be exciting, Sheila?
Do it right here. You've got the gun.
Oh, Sheila, Sheila.
You want to kiss me? Go ahead. You taste of gin. I've got to stay alive now, huh, Brock? Bye. I left my Nicky
his killer. The clarinet played so sad. Hopped a cab at 44th Street. Oh, I had it. Oh, so bad. Put on my black lace nightgown. The blues were all around me, and I wished that I was dead.
Who is it? Wait, I'll slip something on.
Nicky.
Let me in.
Sure, sure, Nicky. Over here. Lie down.
No, listen. I gotta get him. I gotta get Brock.
You're hurt. You're hurt so terribly.
Brock, bring him to me.
You need a doctor, Nicky. I'll get you a doctor.
I don't want one. I want Brock. Get him for me. I'm dying, Sheila. Gotta get Brock before I die. You gotta do it for me.
Yes. I can do it for you, Nicky.
And a gun.
Yes.
Go to Cleo. He'll give you a gun.
Yes. Lie down, Nick. Here, put your arm around me.
We'll do it, won't we? We'll kill Brock.
We'll kill him.
Oh, Miss Sheila.
Hello, Cleo. May I come in?
Well, I don't know.
Sure you do.
What do you want?
I want a gun, Cleo.
Oh, I can't do that, Miss Sheila.
Why not?
Well, Brock didn't say give you a gun.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, you're wrong, Miss Sheila. That's what matters the most. You see, if Brock called me and said give you a gun, it'd be all right.
I'll call him.
All right.
You want to know what I'm going to tell him?
Yeah, I know about the gun. I'll listen in.
About how you were waiting for me when I left his place. How we went riding and had some drinks. And how I'm here now and I want to go home and you won't let me.
Please, Miss Sheila, put your phone down.
All right. What about the gun, Cleo?
I'll get it. Yeah.
Thanks, Cleo.
Miss Sheila.
Yes.
What do you want it for?
Let me ask you something, Cleo. Did you like Nicky?
I liked him all right.
He's alive.
Well, you're kidding. Brock got rid...
Nicky's alive, Cleo. He liked you. I thought you'd want it. Cleo, don't.
Hand over 79715.
Cleo.
I got to, Miss Sheila. Brock's my boss. He's got to know...
Cleo, don't.
You got to understand, Miss Sheila.
Hello, Brock.
Who is this?
Sheila.
Sheila? Hello, Sheila.
I'm lonely, Brock.
Dull again, huh?
Dull.
I can fix it, baby.
It'll take you about an hour to get to my place, won't it, Brock? That's how long I can stand it without you.
Just settle on. See you.
Sheila?
It's me, honey. How do you feel?
It's better now. You're here.
I got the gun, Nick.
Give it to me. 3 bullets missing, Sheila.
I know.
Been fired not long ago, ain't it?
I know.
What happened?
I told Cleo you were alive. He was going to call Brock.
So you shot him.
Let me hold you, Nick.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
Nicky.
What, baby?
It was easy.
Brock coming.
He'll be here in about a half hour.
Hold me, baby.
No tears, no blues, no tears.
It hurts me to laugh, Sheila, but it's funny. Oh, listen to him.
Do you want me to do it for you, Nick?
Shoot him.
I'd do it.
Just show him in the living room, baby. Then I'll make an entrance. You snapped your fingers and I came running, Sheila.
I'll snap them again, Brock. What are you going to do now?
You tell me. No, I mean it.
I'll think of something. Take off your coat. We'll have some music.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It's a nice place you got here.
Nick liked it.
Yeah, tough about him. Dance with me, honey? You, want to dance with me?
You dance whether you'd put your hands on it.
But
I couldn't stand that.
Nick.
All I did was say goodbye to everybody. What are you going to do, Brock?
No. Don't do it, Nick.
He's
no.
going to.
No. Please, Nick, no.
Say him pretty word no. before you die.
No, please, for the life.
No. Oh, it's over, baby.
Now we'll get a doctor.
No. Too late, baby. But it was fun. Wasn't it fun, Sheila?
Nick, don't die.
Baby.
Nick. Nick!
Now, here's your receipt, officer.
Received by St. James Infirmary. One body dead on arrival. Brock Garvey. Also received one Nick Valpy. Died 5 minutes after arrival. Right. Now, what's she doing in there?
The girl? Well, just standing by his table staring at him.
Get her.
Okay. Hey, miss. Policeman wants you. He says you gotta go with him now. Here she is, officer.
You see what you wanted to see, miss?
I saw. I saw my Nicky all stretched out on the table. So sweet, so cold, so fair. Let him go, let him go, and bless him. Where? He'll never find a sweet girl like me.
Suspense. Presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Miss Rosemary Clooney. This is Harlow Wilcox again, speaking for Autolite, world's largest independent manufacturer of automotive electrical equipment. Autolite is proud to serve the greatest names in the industry. That's why during these early months of 53, the Autolite family joins in saluting the leading car manufacturers who install Autolite products as original equipment. Our Autolite family is made up of some 30,000 men and women in 28 great Autolite plants from coast to coast and in still other Autolite plants in many foreign countries. And more than 18,000 people who have invested a portion of their savings in Autolite. As well as 98,000 Autolite distributors and dealers in the United States and thousands more in Canada and throughout the world. Our Autolite family will salute Willis Overland on the next Autolite Suspense television program. If you live in a television area, check the day and time of Suspense on television so that you will be sure to see this program.
Hey,
Suspense is produced and directed by Elliot Lewis, with music composed by Lucian Morawick and conducted by Lud Gluskin. St. James Infirmary Blues was written for Suspense by Morton Fine and David Friedkin. In tonight's story, Anthony Barrett was heard as Nick and William Conrad as Brock. Others in the cast were Billy Hallop, Joseph Kearns, Clayton Post, Vivi Janis, and Shep Menken.
Rosemary Clooney can currently be seen as the star of the Paramount picture, The Stars Are Singing.
And remember, next week, Mr. Frank Lovejoy in The Storm.
Now, from the makers of Cold Water Omo,
two men in monk's cassocks moved silently down the stone passageway of Old Hill Monastery. They opened and closed a heavy Gothic door and walked across the carpeted room. One of the men removed his monk's robe, revealing the uniform of a colonel in the British Army.
Nearly 12 o'clock, Baxter.
Yes, Colonel James.
Better do a round. Take a walkie-talkie and report back.
Very good.
Baxter helped himself to a walkie-talkie from the cupboard and left Colonel James to some paperwork on the desk. A short while later, in the passageway beneath, Baxter paused at each of the monk's cells. They were all heavily bolted on the outside, for Old Hill Monastery was a prison for captured spies.
The Avengers. John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers.
Once an Omo user, always an Omo user. Because it gets out the worst dirt and stains. Mrs. Francis of Port Elizabeth found that Omo cleaned her husband's bathing trunks.
He used to come home and there'd be moss and sludged with tar and oil from our beaches. Well, he wanted to throw them away. He'd throw them over and have them cold water Omo. And the next day they were shimmering white again.
Cold water Omo cleans best. Over 1 million South African housewives have proved it.
Walls Ice Cream presents the new pink
Episode 1 of this story, in which John Steed and Emma Peel celebrate a little too soon, and an enemy makes a killing and a clean getaway. Old Hill Monastery is a small but formidable Gothic structure with battlements and turreted windows. It sits sedately in the fields near Marlow and commands a clear view of the Thames. To the inhabitants of nearby towns, it is thought of as a closed order of holy monks. But it is staffed by highly trained army officers and contains over 100 of the most dangerous captured enemy agents in all England. Lieutenant Baxter, pulling his monk's robe more tightly around him, moved down the passage, looking in at each of the grills.
There's Dorf. Yeah, he's reading as usual. Lubin, playing chess again. A man can play chess against himself, beats me. Who wins? Rostov. Rostov? You hear me? Show yourself.
Baxter, peering into one of the cells, was unable to see the inmate. Without hesitation, he switched on the walkie-talkie and reported the fact to Colonel James.
Baxter to Colonel James.
Come in, Baxter. What is it?
I can't see Rostov in his cell.
You think he may have passed out in the bath?
Maybe. I can't tell for sure. I can only see the frosted glass partition.
All right. Well, you better carry out a routine thickness check.
Baxter immediately removed the monk's robe and took a service revolver from its holster.
Ready when you are, sir.
Give the password.
Apricot.
In his office, Colonel James leaned forward and pressed a button on the panel. The bolts on cell number 3 slid back automatically. Baxter squared his shoulders, tensed his muscles, kicked open the door and entered the cell in a practiced rush.
Let's have you.
Baxter, confident and alert, peered around the cell. He moved across to the bathroom. It was empty. So was the rest of the cell. Quite empty. The figure of the prisoner seemed to appear by magic through the wall.
What the devil?
Before Baxter could recover from his surprise, Rostov landed a terrific blow, knocking him over the table. In his office, Colonel James heard the sound over the walkie-talkie.
Baxter! Baxter! What's happened, Baxter?
Alarm! Sound alarm! Rostov! Taken my gun! And escaped!
Colonel James moved like lightning. His hand went out and set the alarm bells ringing. Instantly, from all over the monastery, men began running at the double for the cell.
There he goes! Get him!
Rostov, at the end of the passageway, whipped up a few warning shots and raced to the next corridor.
But there's no one there. Just a blank wall. He couldn't have got away. It disappeared.
John Steed was having a party in his apartment. It was a small reunion. Steed had two old pals, fellow agents, Paul Ryder and George Neville. The three men were in dinner jackets. Mrs. Peel was with them, wearing a stunning full-length gown. It was all very smart and select, and it had got to the last drink and cigar stage.
Steed, did you ever see anything more of that admiral, what was his name, a pebbly chap, heavy breather?
Well, surely that description can fit any admiral in the British Navy.
Not quite sure who you mean, Paul.
I want to propose a toast.
Oh, you must remember the old boy.
A toast, I insist.
All right, a toast.
To our benevolent host, the man you can always trust, the man you can always rely on, to the man with...
With the wooden leg.
Eh? Steed hasn't got a wooden leg. Have you, Steve? If you have, I must say you carried off very well. I'd never have guessed.
Admiral Corman, that's who I was thinking of.
Ah, yes, Corman. Yes, of course I remember.
I give you John Steed. Oh, glass is empty.
Oh, let me.
Thanks.
John Steed.
Yes,
John Steed. And another toast to John Steed's partner in crime. I must say, Steed, you certainly know how to pick 'em. She's delectable. She's delicious. She's
also a dab hand with a caviar canopy.
Gentlemen, I give you Emma Peel.
Emma Peel.
And another turn.
No. Now it's my turn. To Paul Ryder and George Neville. We trained together. We fought together. And I hope we'll remain together for many years to come.
Steve drank and shattered his glass in the fireplace. The simplicity and sincerity of his speech moved them all. Out of a pause, George Neville said,
"Oh, dear. Gone all solemn. Positively sepulchral." That'll never do, will it?
No, because we've never been solemn. Not even in the tightest spot. Not even during the EBA. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes. The EBA.
Ah, the EBA.
The EBA? European bombing attack?
The exploding bootlaces affair.
Then there was the DCP.
DCP?
The Diabolical Cipher Plan.
And the GAP.
Fill that gap in for me, will you please, Steve?
The Great Assassination Plot.
And what about the GTR?
Ah, yes, yes, the GTR.
You couldn't possibly overlook the GTR.
The Great Train Robbery?
Granny Titty Feathers Rum, homemade.
Kicked like a mill.
Fortified us during dawn vigils.
Yes, and talking of dawn, I think it's time I was off.
Oh, no, one more, surely.
No, it's gone 5, you know.
5 in the morning? Oh, it can't be, surely.
Mrs. Peel moved to the window and drew aside the curtains. The cold light of dawn flooded into the room. Down in the street, the mews was deserted.
Well, it's home with the milkman then, isn't it? I think I'll walk. It's not far, and it'll do me good. Well, thanks for everything, Steve. Next time's my face. Goodbye, Emma. Great pleasure meeting you. See you all again soon. I can let myself out of it, buddy. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye, old chap.
Bye.
Well, how about you, George O'Malley?
Well, I'm very easily led, and the prospect of even 5 minutes more with the delectable Mrs. Peel.
I agree. Another bottle?
Well, thank you both. I'll join you. Mmm, delicious. Champagne at dawn. It's quite the nicest time.
Mrs. Peel looked down into the street and saw the stocky figure of Paul Ryder walk down the mews in the direction of the park. She didn't see another man standing silently in the shadows watching Steed's apartment. Sometime later.
And now, I really must go. It's been a memorable night, Steed. Made doubly memorable by your presence, Mrs. Peel.
Why, thank you.
And, as Paul says, we must all do it again very soon.
Mm.
That's if enemy agents permitting, of course.
Well, that's always true.
I'm sure I can't run you somewhere. Car's in the garage. Won't take a minute.
No. I won't hear of it. I'll grab a taxi at the end of the road. Here's the coat. Bye, Emma. Stay beautiful. Bye, Steed. Call you later in the week.
Yes, do that. Bye, George.
Wow, I'm tired. A hard day's night. But I like them. I like them both very much. And so do you, don't you, Steve?
I wouldn't be here if it weren't for them. They're two of the best in the game. Don't come any better. Even Mother has to admit that.
Mm. I suppose you should have invited Mother.
Well, but my best champagne. There wouldn't be a bottle left.
Well, there's not much now, is there?
No, so we'd better finish it up, hadn't we, Mrs. Peel?
Down in the street, George Neville turned up his coat collar against the chill dawn and quickened his walk. Near the corner of the mews, he stopped. A voice from the shadows said,
Neville. George Neville. Here.
What the devil?
Neville took a pace towards the voice. The figure of Rostov appeared near the blank wall like magic. Neville reached for the gun in his shoulder holster, but too late, Rostov had a gun trained on him and fired it several times. George Neville, spun round by the impact of the bullets, he fell among the dustbins. Steed and Mrs. Peel, hearing the shots, tore out of Steed's apartment.
George! George! Neville!
Steed, is he all right?
George, who did it?
George Neville managed to gasp out,
It... Rostov. Was Rostov.
And then he died in Steed's arms.
Kind of cleanness women are discovering for their dishes.
It's sunlight cleanness.
What? Sunlight cleanness.
A fresh, sparkling cleanness you've never known before.
Why fresh?
New sunlight liquid has real lemon juice.
And sparkling?
Sunlight liquid is concentrated. It's got the greatest grease-cutting power to give you sparkling dishes every time.
And new sunlight liquid with real lemon juice means real economy. Just one teaspoonful washes a whole sinkful of dishes sparkling clean. Sunlight clean.
Once an Omo user, always an Omo user, like Mrs. Bodington.
My wash is beautiful, and I'm very proud of it. There's nothing like cold water Omo.
No dirt can stand up to Omo. Over 1 million housewives have proved it. It cleans best.
The Avengers. Listen every evening, Monday to Friday, to John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers, brought to you by the makers of Cold Water Omo.
Have a good evening, and come back again next week. This has been Bill Holwick from West Texas for Broken Sea Audio Productions. www.brokensea.com. Good evening. Diddy. The music for tonight's episode was composed by Brian Serafic-Panopoli and Stevie Farnaby.